Welcome, 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 my friends. Holy cow, you got another week. We are on the Rational Revolution here on Civic Media. I'm your host, Mark Becker, and this is exciting. So sometimes in our show, we kind of go outside the lines a little bit, and this is definitely going to be one of those times. If you remember, you know, I think it was last year, one of my favorite episodes was when we had the voice of my childhood, Paul Page. He was the guy that like is the announcer for IndyCar, and he joined us, and we talked all about Indy 500 and all that stuff. So that was awesome. And so we're going to go outside the lines a little bit. I am also in business in my real life. And so this is a guy who is a very accomplished businessman, but he also does a ton for the community. So we're going to talk about both of those things. And so I have the 2014 Grocer of the Year. Yes, that's correct. The festival guy, the real festival guy, Mark Scogan. What's up, man?
Hey, how you doing? Good to be here.
Yeah, good to have you. I appreciate you taking your time out to do this.
You bet.
You got married?
I got married December 7th, so yes.
That's, yes.
Hot off the press.
Hot off the press, yes. You'll never win a round of golf with your partner in your life?
No. She's good. Well, depends on what tee we put her at.
So. I was going to ask you that. What tees do you play?
She could play my tees, but she enjoys playing up at the front tees now.
Okay.
And that's what events are at our club, too, so she enjoys that.
So Mark Scogan's wife is retired. She's retired?
Yeah.
Professional golfer, so...
Yeah. Yeah, she's fun to play with. You know, I've played with people who don't play on any tour anymore, and they can be pretty intense and pretty frustrated with how they play because they're not at the top anymore.
Oh, yeah.
And she doesn't do that, so it makes it fun.
Does she ever give you tips?
Like you're pushing on the swing. A little bit, but that's another good thing, not, you know, saying, do this, do that, and I can't do it and get mad at me because I've had that happen before, and it's like, well, if I could do it, I'd do it, but I can't.
I would be so competitive, and like if you're sitting down to dinner or something after, like, hey, remember on 7? Did you like that?
Yeah.
How about that shot? You know?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. So, yeah, congratulations on all of that. I want to talk about, you know, This segment's for me because, you know, as a business person, I'm always someone that wants to grow and to learn and to kind of be learning from people who have been there and done that and had success. And I think, what you've done in your time as CEO of Festival Foods has been remarkable. I mean, you took over in what,
06, I believe it was, yeah.
And you guys have just exploded in terms of growth. Yeah, talk about that.
Yeah, we've had a good run. You know, it's not easy to put up a grocery store. There's a lot of things that go into it, and you can't just put them wherever you want. You know, you need to be able to see. You know, in the past, we'd get projections from people who did it for their career on what they think you could do for sales volume in a new store, and so often they were wrong. Either they were wrong in a way that hurt us or in a way that, geez, we did way better here. So we stopped doing that and just kind of do it by gut a little bit more on where we think we can put a store. But yeah, for a long time, we just really grew and it went well for us. And now, you know, that we've really rounded out the state in many ways, it's hard to find locations to build new stores. But it's been a great run and a lot of great people that made that happen for us.
Yeah, that's, you know, and you're also... not just building new stores, you're buying stores, a lot of like the community.
Yeah, it's interesting. When my grandpa started back in 1946, I think there were 70 stores, my dad said, in the phone book, 70 grocery stores in small La Crosse, you know, so they were small stores. Everybody kind of had a small store. And our stores ended up, you know, over time being about 25,000 square feet. And they were, you know, what some would call a small mom and pop type store. Mm-hmm. And then this festival format came to us. It was owned by our wholesaler at the time. And
Really?
So that was a big box format, you know? And so we had probably 5 Scogan's IGA stores, those smaller stores. And over time we got rid of them. We said, this isn't the way it's going to work. We can't grow the same way. We won't be competitive. So we get into this big box thing for, I don't know. Well, our first festival store was in 1990. So up until 3 years ago, we were just building these big stores.
Yeah.
And we realized that it's hard to find spots to put big stores. We started to look at these smaller stores again that are in communities where they might be the only store. And you hear a lot about how small cities maybe don't have a store or not a very good store. And so we felt it was a good thing to do, that we had an opportunity to buy these independent operators who might only have one store and they just want to get out. And so we've stepped into some of those, and we call that our hometown grocers brand of our business. And often we just leave the name of what it was, like Super Ron's in Pulaski.
That's right.
Yeah, that we just leave the name on there. You know, it upsets less things. You know, people expect something from that store that they've always gotten, and we like to stay that way.
Chicken?
So, yeah, the chicken.
That's right. Yeah, that was one of my questions. Is like, what is your most accomplished, or what was your proudest accomplishment in business, and why is it buying Super Ron's?
I was just there yesterday. Hard that we have about 50 stores total, and it's hard to get around to see them, but I was just there yesterday, and I like how that store looks and operates. It's a fun store.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, you grow up, and my wife worked at Super Ron's in the deli for a long time, and my grandpa lived in Luxembourg, and they had Stadola's IGA, and, you know, and so, like, the grocery stores in these small towns, that's like the cornerstone of the community.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because that's how it really used to be when there were 70 stores in La Crosse. Everybody looked to their grocery store for their community, for their needs, for where you would almost gather, you know, and see your friends. It was before social media and all that stuff. And they were really the cornerstone. And I think over time, a bigger store, bigger boxes, some of the publicly traded companies, they've become not that, you know, they're just out there getting your groceries, and they don't do things the same way as it used to be done, you know, in the 1950s, 60s, 70s. And so those small cities still have that feeling to them that the locals count on their store for things that maybe they don't, where you have choices of 10 stores in a city.
You probably know the numbers better than I do, but I, you know, the biggest thing that we would hear in our community was, you know, the roasted chicken at Super Ron's is better than any restaurant you're going to find. And people love that stuff.
Yeah, you told me that.
And, I know, yeah.
And we dug into it, and yeah, it's really good. And I asked a while back, and I forget if we're trying to get that rolled out in other stores, because it is, it's different. It's very good.
Oh, so it is a different.
Yeah, I forget what they told me they were doing a little bit different. But
oh, that's cool. And so, and it's funny, the former owner, the one that you bought from, is my neighbor.
Oh,
and so, you know, our kids play together and all that stuff. So, yeah, that's cool. And it's when I was in high school, I worked in the Cops Food Center produce department, and we hated festival because every time you go in there, everything's bright. Everyone's so friendly. You know,
that's
our festival.
And there was a good family there, too, that did a really nice job for a very long time and then just stepped away.
What are your principles in terms of, like business wise, in terms of like good people and places and all of that? What are your guiding?
Well, quite often we say we're in the people business. We just happen to sell food, so we focus more on people and community and being something more than a grocery store. And we do that because we want to be different. You know, if everybody's the same, you know, how are you going to get people to come to you? And we like to think that we have better people that are willing to help in ways that maybe they might not feel at another grocery store, any retail place, a hotel, a restaurant. It doesn't matter. And if we're not winning at that and doing that better than others, that's our sort of secret sauce that we want to make sure that we're doing very well.
I have a friend that works for you, and he's worked for you for a long time, Andrew. And I don't know what his position is.
Robbins.
Yes. I'm name dropping him.
He's in our office now doing, I forget what his exact title is, but yeah, talk about a happy, friendly guy.
It is, right. And it's so interesting because, like, you know, as an employer too, as we were talking with the CEO of Festival Foods, Mark Scogan, as an employer, I want people like that guy. Yes. I want someone that, you know, when he takes off the festival jersey and goes out about in his regular life, he still holds that same values of, you know, kindness and generosity, and you know, that's someone you can be proud of. Like, that's my guy.
Yeah. We actually, in the stores, recognize associates when they have a positive comment about them. We get people call, stop a manager, write us.
Oh, cool.
And we keep track of how many they get. And on their name tag, we put a boomerang on there.
Oh, yeah.
And for up, you know, 5, they have a certain color boomerang. 20, they have a certain color boomerang on their name tag.
You know,
really
cool.
Highlighting the people who go out of their way to do something special for our guests.
That's cool. What, in your time and tenure, what has been some things that, have you ever been to a point where you're like, oh God, I don't know how we're going to do this?
Yeah. You know, and I've been asked before, what's, you know, the biggest failure you had in business and what did you learn from it? And it's like, I know there's plenty, but I think the thing I learned from that question is we don't dwell on them. We don't sit there and think, boy, we really screwed that up. You know, they just become in the rearview mirror and you forget about it. So
I don't think there's really you can't fail if you learn from it.
Yeah. Maybe one thing I would think of, you know, that we said, oh my gosh, is when Walmart started to get into the food business.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember they built their first store around Green Bay in right next to our store in West Mason Street. And our store was growing like crazy. They opened and nothing really happened, you know.
Really?
I've said at times that it's better to have that competitor right next to you than a mile away, you know, because maybe they're shopping both or, but that store just continued to do very well for us. And so we've, you know, dealt with them for a very long time. We know what they are. They're different than us and that's good. They're not, you know, trying to do the same things we do because then, you know, who's doing that better?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's yeah, have them right there. We'll prove why we're different.
Yeah,
that's cool. Yeah. What was COVID like?
Laughs. I mean, it's hard
sucked.
To believe how long ago it was. Now,
I know.
But, it was pretty cool in one regard in that our team stepped up. I would bet we had, you know, 250 people out of 7,000 that said I shouldn't be working. I don't want to work. This doesn't feel safe. The rest stayed. And it became so busy. And, you know, so you got two things you're dealing with. What is this? Are we in danger? And then number two was just how busy we were and to keep up. And they just put their foot on the gas. And we were very proud of that time. You know, supply, yeah, that was a problem. Toilet paper was the first part of it. But, you know, if you think about United States grocery stores, they have so much stuff. Yeah, we might run out of one kind of ketchup, but there's, you know, 10 other brands sitting right there. So it never became, other than toilet paper, where it's like, can we even get that?
Yeah, I remember I owned a restaurant. This was like way at the end of the pandemic, and it just, supply chain was horrific, and you didn't know, you can make your order, but you have no idea when that truck comes, what's on it? It's like you're rolling the dice, and it's not Christmas because you look forward to that, but then it's just, oh my God, is it coming? It's not.
Interestingly, as it relates to supply and a problem, our wholesaler just had a cyber attack. Started about a month ago, I would say, and lasted a couple of weeks of trouble. But that, in some ways, was almost worse than the pandemic for getting supply.
Oh,
they
wow.
they were. Out of, you know, the consensus,
right.
They had no systems.
We're going to pick this up here after the break. We're talking to Mark Scogin here on the Rational Revolution on Civic Media Radio Network. Stick around.